Bethel Baptist Church is first time. We're honored to have him. Honored to have you. Most of all, we're honored to have the Lord.
Amen. As we were leaving last evening, Brother Gunn had mentioned a text in the Scripture. He was speaking about being lost in the house. And I told Brother Gunn in the lobby last night at the conclusion of service that some years ago I had been praying in our living room at our recliner in the bedroom, or in the living room there in the recliner. And I went on to bed after that. I woke up the next morning, and there was a bright, shiny penny laying there next to that recliner. It was not there when I went to bed. I'm 100% certain of that. And the next morning there it laid. Don't know how it got there. Don't know where it came from. But I had some workers coming to my house that next afternoon later on that day to work in our house. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted us to minister to those folk like we typically would. And nothing happened. And we went that night to preach revival down in Old Fort, North Carolina. And my son got saved. You see, he was lost in my house. And the Lord used that coin to speak to his daddy, though I didn't get it. I'm not real spiritual about most of the time. I didn't get it. But God was trying to get me ready for what God was going to do that night and give me praying about lost in my house. And when my boy got saved, we hadn't even got to preaching yet real good. And then I was a mess. I was 6 ways from Sunday, seemed like a mess. And the pastor said, "Preacher Darren, do we just go ahead and preach?" I said, I'm just slobbering and I'm just slinging snot. I just said snot from the pulpit, but I was slinging snot. And he said, "Just preach." And so the Lord let me just begin to look at that parable that Brother Gunn had mentioned last night, sharing some things in the ministry that God has done through Lost Coins. And I'm telling you, we gave the invitation and the pastor's daughter got saved. About 15 more people got saved that night. It was unbelievable. And then the preacher, I said, "Preacher, you got something you want to say?" He said, I can't talk. I said, "Yeah, tell me about it." When God gets to moving in your family, it's really all you can do. And that passage in Luke 15 is one of my favorite passages in all of God's Word. Now, you're going to hear my dad say, Zechariah's his favorite passage, John's his favorite passage, Luke. Has he ever done that to y'all? This is my favorite passage. And I've come to find out that he just loves it all. Okay? Whatever he's preaching that night, he just loves it. That's his favorite. So I want to look tonight, Luke chapter number 15, verses 8, 9, and 10. And here's why. I believe Gunn was in tune with God, and I believe God was using Brother Gunn to gear us that direction, even though he's probably preparing a message for Brother Gunn to preach, and I can't wait to hear it. As I got up this morning, I went to school, and I was running a vacuum cleaner in the office and cleaning things up and went into the second grade. Guess what I found? A coin. And immediately God spoke to my heart and said, "I want you to look at that text today. Tonight." And I bowed and prayed in that place. And I hope you'll join with me that maybe there'll be someone lost in the house here that'll be saved. I pray that you'll join with me that maybe there'll be somebody lost in the house at Bethel Christian Academy in the second grade classroom where my wife teaches, where there may be a soul get saved. We saw 38 saved last year. And I pray that tonight at this text would even take on a new meaning, because as God began to just develop some thoughts for me, this text went to a whole new level for me. And I pray that tonight that God would speak to your heart. In Luke 15, I'll ask you that you might stand with me tonight as we reverence the reading of God's Holy Word. I brought some illustrations tonight that might help us to see. I promise I'm not leaving. Luke Luke 15, verse number 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In the margin of my Bible, I have written these four words: lost in the house. Father, tonight, I pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit, through your precious word, and how we love the word of God, and how it speaks to us through your Spirit. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak to this church, the Fletcher First Baptist Church, those who may be logged on tonight watching through internet. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. You would give us a clear understanding tonight, Father. You would birth in our heart a burden to find these lost coins. And more importantly, you would birth into our heart a burden for the lost and the perishing, that they might be saved before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we're here tonight, God, just to be just a little mouthpiece in your hand, that you might speak to hearts tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do thank you for standing, and you may be seated. Luke 15 is an interesting chapter, isn't it? It deals with lost sheep, verses 3 through 7. Lost silver, verses 8 through 10. And a lost son, verse 11 through the close of the chapter. This particular parable, I believe, deals with finding things that are lost. This woman, at her house, obviously had 10 silver coins, and she lost one. And in the Jewish culture, what would happen is when a bride has become betrothed or engaged, she did have a headpiece that she would sew in 10 silver coins. And that 10 is a number for completion. And it speaks to her readiness for the marriage. But the problem is here, this bride-to-be has lost one of the pieces that goes in her headpiece. You see, sometime before, this Jewish boy had gotten his eyes on her. And he fell in love with her. And she fell in love with him. And he went to her daddy. And he sat down and began to negotiate a price. And he paid the price. And the wedding is now in covenant. And I believe that Jesus said in the garden, Father, if it be thy will for this cup to pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. And on that cross, Jesus Christ paid the price in full for you and I to be his precious bride. Now, the young man, when he has paid that dowry, negotiated that price and paid it in full, he would go back to his father's house and he would prepare a place. And as he left, he would say something like this: I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the young girl, she sees that young man as he slips away, knowing that he had pledged to her his love, knowing that he had pledged to her a promise that he was going to return. And while he was preparing, she was careful to make sure that she was pure, she was chaste, she was clean, and that she was faithful to him. In other words, while he's preparing, she herself was going to be prepared. Amen. You see, she wanted to be ready. And one of the things that helped her to be ready to not be ashamed was to weave this headpiece together and those 10 silver coins. Now that number 10, it goes a little deeper in our study than just the number of completion. The number of 10 in the scripture, you might want to think about this, is the number which represents the Gentile nations. The number 12 represents Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. But the number 10 represents the Gentile nations. The number 10 would represent the church. Interesting in that text right there in Luke. I also began to study and think about this silver, that silver coin, silver, that piece of precious metal always represents redemption. And what's amazing is that in verse number 10, those coins represent sinners. I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. One coin was lost, one sinner that repented, one coin was found. When the sinner is found, there is rejoicing. And when I looked at this text for that young lady, she has a problem. She has lost one of those pieces. And if the groom should return, she is unprepared. She will be embarrassed. She will be ashamed. In other words, she will not be all she could have been should her groom come. When he comes, will he find you and I prepared? She has another problem. According to the text, she goes and lights a candle. You know why? Why would you light a candle? It's dark. The Jewish people, their weddings are always at nighttime. Us Baptists, we get married at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock. We always get married in the afternoons, right? But the Jews always got married at nighttime. And it's nighttime. And the groom, she believes, could come at any time. And if he comes at any time, she is not ready. The sun has sunk low and the darkness was approaching. And this could be the night that the groom comes. But my wedding garment is not fully prepared. And she's in a full-blown panic. She's in trouble. Time is running out. She's got to hurry up. She's got to get busy. So she lights that candle to do all she can to prepare for her groom. There are two things that she's going to need, in other words, for her to be ready. The first one is she has to have a candle. So tonight I brought with me, if I can get everything out of here, a candle. And I want to take this candle, I want us to examine it just for a moment. Now the scripture says that she lit this candle, and that coin lost in the darkness, she needs to find the coin. Do you realize that if the coin represents the sinner is in the darkness? I would remind you that Jesus found you in the darkness. The scripture says that men love darkness rather than light. And he found us in the darkness. She's going to have a light in the darkness if the lost coin is going to be found. Fletcher, if you are going to win sinners, you have got to have a light in the midst of a dark world. You must be that light. You must share that light. You must shed that light. And it must be done. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 8. Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 8. And verse number 22. The scripture says, they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. This world is filled with darkness. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first
He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. What's this, verse 2? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That light is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. He was, let me say it like this, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 6, here's this light. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This world is filled with darkness. And for us to win the lost, we must have light. Now this light, this candle, is composed of some things. First of all tonight, this candle is composed of a material. The outward material of the candle is called tallow. When I think about tallow, it's us here in the mountains, we call it tallow. That's what they call it in spruce pine. It's animal fat. Now, know something about the Jews. They're not cattle ranchers. They're not hog farmers. The Jews are shepherds. For there to be a candle made of tallow, that means that it's got to be made from the fat of a lamb. What I'm trying to say is, for there to be a candle, a lamb has to be slain. That lamb is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to submit to you, Fletcher, is for there to be a light, for there to be a candle, the blood had to be shed. For us to win the lost, the blood has got to be shed. He is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb of God, which came to take away our sins. The outside material represents the blood of the Lamb. The inside material, it is called the wick. Long fibers of the flax plant. And that flax plant, they take those fibers and they straighten them out by beating them. They beat them and beat them and beat them. And they weave them into cords to make a candle wick. Today we call the inside part linen. Fine linen. White and clean. That which is righteousness. Hey, Jesus Christ is the only one I know that on the inside was completely righteous. You examine Him, Pilate. He said, I find no fault in Him. There's no demon, no devil in hell can find fault in Him, praise God. He's a light on the inside, praise God. He never said He's the righteous one.
Amen.
Now, the candle is more than just tallow, and it's more than just linen. Did you know you can have one candle, 10 candles, 100 candles, or 1,000 candles, and still have no light until it's lit with fire? Fire represents judgment. The fires of hell, judgment. The fires of sin offerings, as animals were offered and then burnt, judgment. On the cross, Jesus took our judgment. He paid our penalty. He suffered our death. He suffered our beating. He suffered our torture. Hey, 2 Corinthians 5:21 still says, He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
He took our judgment. For that woman to be holding that candle, looking for that lost coin, so she could be prepared for her bridegroom, she's burning the lamb. She's burning, consuming, lighting the fire to the lamb. For a soul to be saved, it's got to come through the lamb, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to read a text. I think you need to see it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want to begin reading in verse number 3. And I want to say that this candle is a picture of the cross. Satan does not want that light to shine. Satan does not want the gospel to go forward. Look with me in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to say, when I think about that candle, I'll never look at the light that that woman held. I'll never look at a candle in my home the same now that I know that it represents the cross. It represents my Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I move away from this, one other point I think needs to be made about the candle. Did you know candles were a provision for those that were poor? You see, those who could afford it always had oil in their lamps. But candles were homemade, made by those folks who could not afford to do better. Jesus made sure, didn't he, that the gospel was proclaimed and preached to the poor. May I say it like this? I had no righteousness of my own. I was a wicked, hell-deserving sinner. And he made sure that this poor boy who had nothing to offer could hear the gospel and be saved. Bless his good name for the candle that reached to this lost sinner one day. No goodness, no righteousness in my hand, no pride I bring simply to the cross I cling. Fletcher, for the lost to be won, there must be a light that is shining brightly to those that are lost and dying. There's another thing that this precious woman had to have. I believe that that picture is in a broom. And I want us to look tonight at a broom. You may say, Preacher Darren, I don't like to sleep. You may never look at a broom the same way again. I believe the Bible says that she swept her house. Now, Preacher Darren, the broom was never mentioned in that text. You're right. There's no mention of the broom, but the work of the broom is mentioned. Now, I know some of y'all are nervous. There's a lot up here. We got a broom. It'll be all right. Preacher Darren, the broom is not mentioned, but its work is mentioned. In the Old Testament, the church is not mentioned, but it's pictured many times of what God is going to do. Do you understand that a broom does not begin as a broom? A broom begins and starts as broom corn. Stalks of broom corn out there in a field, growing in the wild. Wild. It's what you and I were. You understand that we were subject to the wind and subject to the storms, subject to the elements of this life. You and I were out in the wild field before Jesus came and got us. We were at the mercy of the world, blown and tossed here and there, just old broom corn out in the middle of a field with no purpose whatsoever. But one day, God sent a reaper to come your way. That precious laborer, that worker, that man of God who took the sharp knife and cut the broom corn down and laid it low. I'll never forget that night that God sent his laborer, Percy Ray, that come with the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword, and found me there, blown to and fro in the middle of the field, wild, subject to the elements of the world, and he took the precious knife of the Word of God, and he laid me low, and I fell on my face. All I could do was just fall out. It's all that I knew to do. And right where that broom is, right where that broom cord is cut, it falls. And all I knew to do was cry out for mercy. I remember the night I got saved. Call time out there. The night I got saved, I slipped out. July 13th of 78. Slipped out of my seat, told my daddy, I got to go. Run down that old-fashioned altar, go to the front row, and my knees buckled under the weight of sin, under guilt, and I fell in the middle of the aisleway. I see the altar, there was nobody there. I didn't know why I didn't crawl, why I didn't get on my face and crawl the rest of the way. But somehow I fell in the middle of that highway there. And my dad came and put his hand on my back. He said, son, what's wrong? Now, he knew what was wrong. But he wanted me to confess what was wrong. I said, daddy, I need to be saved. And I didn't make it. He said, what do you mean you didn't make it? I said, I didn't get to the altar. I thought that I had to be in the altar. I was in the middle of the highway there. And everybody was looking at me. And my daddy said, son, it's okay. Because he's come to you. Woo! I'm glad, praise God, he found me right where I was. Amen. That old broom cord fell on its face, crying out for mercy. It's amazing what that knife separated me from. I was cut off. When the broom cord is cut, it's separated from the world. It had roots way down in the dirt. But the knife made a clean cut. And I'm never attached to them old roots anymore. I'm cut off from my past. Praise God for that. Listen now. There I lay. And a big old hand reached down and picked me up out of the middle of that field. I was lost and undone without God and His Son when He reached down His hand for me. He took that broom cord and he put it under his arm, harvested for a purpose, and he brings it back. And he says, I have a purpose for this broom cord. I'm going to use it to become part of a broom. Now I want to take a minute for a broom. That old broom cord, he had roots. Now y'all looking at me? He had roots that went down this way. But when that broom cord got cut, he gets turned like this, and now his roots are pulled upward. They're anchored in another land. I've got a root system anchored in the cross of Jesus Christ. It might be said about this. I've got a whole new direction. The Bible says in Acts 17:6, these are they which have turned the world upside down. Hey, Lord of God, has He turned your world upside down? Have you met my Savior? Did He completely flip you out and turn your world around? That's Him. That's what He does. He gives hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. Salvation to those that can never do it. Bless His holy name. And guess what He did now? That broom corn, I'm just one little old straw here. But He made me part of something a whole lot bigger than I ever was. I want y'all to look at this broom. It's got many members. But there's just one broom. The church has many members. But there's just one church. The body of Christ has many members. But there's just one body. Hallelujah. But what's amazing to me is every one of these stalks have their very own place. They're right where He puts them. And you, listen to me. You cannot occupy two places at one time. We all are to work together. One purpose. One accord. Hey, what's your purpose? To find the lost together. The purpose of the broom is a sweeping action to find that which was lost. Some of y'all look around here and say, oh, what a great church we have. Listen, We're not here to point out what a great church we have. We're here to point out what a great Savior that we have. One who saved us and redeemed us and is still in the saving business. Now, I want to think about the placement then of these stalks. It's important that we see this. When that broom cord gets placed in this broom, every one of these stalks are all trimmed even. No big eyes. No little U's. We're all the same, all equal in the sight of Almighty God. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Now, I want you to look at something. This broom, all these pieces, wide down here at the bottom, they're all joined together at the top. You understand that we may be spread out, but there's something that joins us together. We're all anchored. All of us are anchored to this handle. And this handle is made out of wood. And wood would be that which would come from a tree. You and I are anchored and come together by a tree. Preacher Derek, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Jesus Christ shed His blood on an old rugged cross that we might be saved, that we might be part of the broom, that we might make up the bride, that we might get out and win the lost of Jesus Christ. We've been brought together by the cross of Calvary. And I want to say that there's an unbreakable band at the top of this. It's made out of iron, made out of steel. And I studied this real well. Did you know that iron is one of the main ingredients in blood? In you right now is liquid steel. What I'm trying to say is the blood of Jesus Christ is an unbreakable band. We are joined together in Jesus. Brother Jason, I just want to point this out to you. You sit down closest to me, I'm sorry. Do you see right here at the top of this handle made of wood where it comes together and all these straws come together? Do you see what's right there? It's a nail. Oh, hallelujah. Do you agree, sir? Mr. Luke, oh, nailed together. Hallelujah. We've been nailed together at the blood and the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. All stalks were nailed to that old tree. Now look here again. These stalks are not just bound at the top by an unbreakable band, but look all the way down through here. Do you see these other places? That these different cords, do you see them? Two people. I'll run through the church with the broom. Do y'all see these cords that bind the top of this broom together? Do you see these cords? Preacher Darren, what do these cords represent? You're going to be sorry you asked. But these cords, I believe, represent something. First of all, I believe it represents the love that we ought to have for each other. Because we pass from death unto life, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. We are bound together by the cords of love. And what about the cords of joy? The love of God and the love we have for each other at God's house. We have joy unspeakable and full of glory. What about fellowship? How to be fellowship? Fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with the Son. Fellowship one with another. What about trust? Hey man, have you learned to trust one another? What about commitment? Amen. What about your testimony? Have you shared what Jesus has done for you? Hey Luke, come here. Try to pull this broom apart. Just pull it, yank it out. You cannot pull these broom straws. You cannot pull them out from the top. It's unbreakable. There forever. Once saved, always saved. But now this broom was made to work. Its job is to get
to sweeping. Now this broom's brand new. And it looks real, real good. But a broom, you hear me, is not made to look at. This church is not made to look at.
Right.
The church, the broom, she's made to work. She's not made to be seen. We don't just put a broom up and put it on display. The broom has a job. His job is to get out and sweep. Now hear me. I don't know exactly how to do the work of God. Y'all, a lot of churches haven't figured this out yet, but I want to give you a religion 101. Watch this. Broom, sweep the house. That's what this church can do on its own.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. Broom, I said get over here and there's dirt in the corner. Hey, Strunk, sweep the house. You understand that's what you can do without Jesus. You cannot do one thing. Though you are put together for a purpose, though you're there called to do the work, what you've got to understand is you don't know when to go, where to go, how to do it. You don't know what to say, but He does. And He says, as long as you're in my hand, I know just exactly where the lost are. And I'll use you and put you to work in my sweeping action. Might I point this out? You're not going to like what I'm going to say. The broom, this woman, she's not concerned with getting the dirt off the floor like us Baptists are. What was she sweeping for? She is sweeping for the lost. Sweeping for the lost coin. All you want to do is talk about the dirt. That's all you want to work on. It's the dirt. There's dirt in the church. They've got to clean it. They've got to get dirt. She's not looking for the dirt. She's looking for the lost.
Amen.
And as she's looking for the lost, don't you know she's probably sweeping the dirt?
Yeah.
So the main thrust, the main focus of our church has got to be winning the lost. Some of y'all say, we got to have standards. Yes, you do. But I promise you, you spend all your time on your little old standards, and all you have is a bunch of legalistic people that want to shove up their nose to anybody lost. They'll never be concerned and never win them.
Right.
And our churches need to figure this out. Yes, if you want to win the lost, you're going to have to love what Jesus loves. He loves hell-bound sinners. He loves you, and He still loves us, and He still loves them.
Amen.
You better love what Jesus loves
right,
and not turn up your nose to Him. Hello? Now, I started bringing old broom. We got old broom at the house. Been used many, many times. Hey, you know what's amazing? What we discovered about the old broom? The old broom has been used and swept and used. You know how it gets sharper and shorter and shorter? It knows how to get way back in them corners like a new broom never could. Some of y'all, listen to me. I might need an amen right here. Some of y'all see the church and you may say, well, it's just getting old. It's just old broom. And it's time to throw it out.
Oh, no.
You see, the old broom can do what a new broom will never do. Old broom can get in places that a new broom will never. But praise God, if the new broom is used properly, she'll become an old broom one day. And she'll get in there and get to work. Well, hallelujah. Now, let me just say this. The enemy cannot break out these bands at the top. But his tactics or to begin to try to break out some brittle places a little closer to the bottom. Have you ever seen somebody leave your fellowship? Had hurt you? Because you thought you were bound together by love and joy? And you share a vision of winning the lost. And I've seen people leave the church who no longer shared the same vision of the method to win the lost. Thought we ought to concentrate on something else. And they broke out. All on their own. You know what an old broom straw is going to do out all on his own? Y'all looking at me? Let's go win the lost. Let's go sweep. You're not going to win a whole lot on your own like that, are you? But it is amazing that you can take a bunch of these little pieces that are broke out, and if they get back in the love of God and back in fellowship, that He can take them and bind them up and use them as a nice little sweeper. and put them right back into a place of forgiveness and back into a place of restoration and back into a place of fellowship.
Amen.
Now I'll say this to you. It is amazing. It is amazing how some of us, you're right on the fringes. You're not in there real tight like you ought to be. You see, here's your problem. You think the church ought to be there to minister to you. The church is not here to minister to you. Okay? It is here to praise Jesus Christ. And you are part of the church. Listen, it's not what the church can do for you. It's what you can do for the church.
Amen.
That you would get out and help win the lost. Rather than say, oh, woe is me. Can you focus on me for a minute? I want... Hey, you're already saved, praise God. You're already sewn in the headdress. Amen. Let's go get the lost and die. Get over your pity party. Quit having that invitation. And get back to the bloom. And get back to work. And sweeping as you're supposed to sweep. Some of you ladies said, I hate a broom. I mean, I was running a vacuum today. It's an electric broom. When I found that coal. And I want to close right here. We're done. But you better be careful at this church that you light the candle. And you better be careful at this church that you're part of the broom used of God's Spirit to win the lost. I'll ask you a question. What have you done today to tell somebody about Jesus? Have you lit a candle? You been a light to them? Have you been praying, sweeping, working, witnessing, testifying today? This woman, she lit a candle. This woman, bless God, she went to work because it affected her personally. And she found, praise God, she found that which was lost. And when she did, she called her friends. She called her neighbors. She texted everybody. She called everybody. She Facebooked everybody. She told everybody that she knew, rejoice with me, for I have found that which was lost. I won't be embarrassed. I won't be ashamed that it's coming. I'll be ready. She got the needle and the thread. And she began to sew that back into her wedding garment. Didn't matter that it was dark. Didn't matter if he comes tonight. Listen, didn't matter if he comes tonight or not. She'll not be disappointed even if he don't come. You know why? Because she's ready. She's just ready. You know, one day when Jesus comes, I guarantee you this, you're not going to say, where have you been? Hello? Where have you been? I have been expecting you to... Where have you been? It won't happen.
Right.
Because when you see Him... Woo! Hallelujah! Church, I pray that you'll examine yourself and say, what am I doing to emit the light of the gospel? The light of the cross? The light of Jesus? What am I doing to be part of the sweeping action of the church? Am I really... Is my work there, Henry, let me say it like this. Leonard Fletcher, one of the greatest preachers I know. Here's a question he posed to our church. Am I a funnel or a straw? They're both just empty vessels, but they're used to do two different things. One, as a straw, is always taken away, always pulling out. A lot of our church people, always on the take. Always want some. Always pulling out. But you got to decide, are you going to be a funnel and put in? Or are you going to pull out? Are you really bound together by love? Joy? Do you really trust each other? Is this a real fellowship together, Fletcher? Are you just a God cord to drop the back into the break? Promise you this, we have a band. We're bound together in the cross of Christ through His precious blood, and that will never, ever break.
Amen.
And when I see that parable, when it is mentioned to me, Brother Gunn, I will never look at it the same. Because it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It is a light that has been lit, and it is a broom that's been sweeping, and there's precious rejoicing.
Amen.
What are we doing, Fletcher? To get involved with what Jesus wants done.
Amen.
You'll stand at your feet tonight. Someone please come to the piano. I wonder if there might be somebody here who said, "Preacher Darren, I tell you, this parable spoke to my heart. I want to get in that old-fashioned altar. I want to get my life lined up with God. I want to thank Him for the light. I want to thank Him for the brook. I want to thank Him for that old man of God that He sent the labor in the field that found me as wild broom corn and cut me down with a good sharp knife. And when I called out for mercy, a big old hand lifted me up and formed me and put me part of the brook. And I'm not here to protest, preacher. I'm here to rejoice. I'm here to praise it. And I'm here to help win others to Jesus Christ. Help me. Show me where I can get the word." I didn't come to Fletcher to sit on the seat and do nothing. Your head's bowed, nobody looking. Who tonight wants something from the Lord? You'd get on this altar and thank Him, praise Him, and say, "Lord, help me get to work. Show me. Show me. Put your hand on my life and help me get to work. I've got lost family. I've got lost friends. Oh God, would you help me sweep my house?" Would you come, as humbly as you know how? Would you come? For such sweet fellowship as you allow us to experience. To be a lost, hell-bound sinner out in the wild for the reaper to be sent. Take the precious word of God and declare to my soul its truths. And cut me low and then raise me up to a place of salvation. To allow me to be part of something it's so much bigger than I could ever hope to be. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd use our lives to win lost to Jesus. To be a testimony of the power of God. To be a testimony of the Word of God and the things that Jesus Christ can do. Help us, Lord, that our gospel, it would not be hid, but it would shine. Oh, it would shine forth for the glory of God. Lord, I pray that the God of this world wouldn't try to blind others, but God, You would take this light and You would shine it and open their eyes to the need of salvation. Father, I want to praise You tonight for this precious brood, for the ties that have bound us to the cross, for the nails that have placed us with You, crucified with Christ, but living with You. For the love, joy, and fellowship. For the testimony that You allowed us to share. Thank You, God, for it all. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd save our families. Lord, our families not completely ready for the coming of Jesus. We have lost family members. We have friends we're very concerned with. Lord, our enemies need to be saved. And I pray, God, You do it for Jesus' sake. Because He died. Because He loves sinners. Help us, God, to love what Jesus loves. And get the word for the glory of God. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
can't wait another second to bring him up here. I love him tonight. I'm so thankful for all he's done for me and for his presence that I have felt so much the past couple of weeks. I just feel like I'm so full and I'm just going to explode. And I just want to praise his name tonight for who he is and for loving an old wretch like me because I don't deserve him. And I'm just thankful for him saving me. And he came to me in that old sanctuary. And the person was Gerald Smith. And I'm thankful for that man of God. And I just praise Jesus for loving me tonight.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Natalie. Who else needs a mind of the Lord in that? Thank God for the Word of God, for the message.